Amen.
Our Bible reading is taken from Genesis 22, 1 to 19. Genesis 22, 1 to 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God has told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied, "the fire and the wood are here." Isaac said, "But there is the lamp. But where is the lamp for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." My son and the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God has told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He burned his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its bones. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountains of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendant as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendant will take possession of the city of their enemies, and through your offerings, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servant, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sally. If we're talking about listening to God, that's a great example, isn't it? Verse 1. Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. That's really listening to God, isn't it? Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you will speak to us. And Lord, we will learn, Lord, as we continue to serve you. So bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we know, one of the key principles of being an evangelical Christian is our faith and trust in God. That is fundamental. That's what we have to do every day, every single passing moment, more and more and more, put our faith and trust in God. And as we travel through our Christian lives, we find that all too often our faith is tested in various ways. Every day we make decisions that affect our lives and our faith in God. We like to think we make the right decisions, but sometimes, more often than not maybe, we make the wrong decisions. And sadly, we are making decisions sometimes. Most of us only think of the immediate consequences, the here and now. And of course, these can be very misleading because they can be very short-lived. Abraham had a decision to make. His decision was between setting out with his family and belongings for parts unknown or staying right where he was. He had to decide between the security that he already had and the uncertainty of traveling under God's direction. That's a big challenge in life, isn't it? Something that I had to face in my early days of being a Christian, where my life was being challenged. I was comfortable where I was. I was doing, had a good job, good money, but God was calling me into the mission field, calling me into pastoral ministry. And he had to decide, Abraham, that is, between the security he already had and the uncertainty of traveling under God's direction. All he had to go on, really, was God's promise to guide and bless him. Abraham was thinking on the here and now. He couldn't see that at that time, his decision, his obedience to God, was to affect the whole history of the world, a picture of what God wanted him to do. And his decision to follow God set into motion the development of the nation that God would eventually use as his own when he visited earth himself, incarnately, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to earth, God's promise was fulfilled. Through Abraham, the entire world was blessed. I say these things as an introduction to what I want to share with you today. Because in our passage this morning, we find Abraham being tested by God. As far as we know, this was the last and greatest test that came to Abraham. For when this experience was finished, the life of this great patriarch came to a close. So let's look at this story together and try and see what God is saying to us. Because God's word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not like a novel that you read and put back in the bookcase. The word of God is living. It's relevant to this very day. So let's see what God is saying to us this morning. Firstly, we notice that Abraham had been given some explicit, very difficult instructions. Notice verses 1 and 2. Those words mentioned in those two verses, those words some time later, are very significant. Sometimes we can gloss over words, gloss over sentences, but those three words, some time later, are very significant. Because the test that was about to come to Abraham came after God had proved his power in fulfilling his promise to Abraham and Sarah in the birth of Isaac. After a long process of God nurturing Abraham's faith was ready for the supreme test. And boy, was it a supreme test. Now, it's reassuring for us here today to know that God will never allow a challenge or a temptation to come into our lives that our faith can't handle. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul writes, God is faithful. We can say amen to that. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, and they will come, temptation will come, but when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. To stand up under it. And as we can see in our passage, God did not let Abraham down gently when he said plainly to him in verse 2, take your son, your only son, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So here we have it. Here we have these difficult instructions that God is giving to Abraham. Can you imagine how Abraham is feeling? I'm a great believer of jumping into Scripture. I'm a great believer to jump into the passages of the Word of God. Can you imagine being on the fringe of the crowd when Jesus was teaching? I want to be there. I want to listen to him. Must have been fascinating, exciting. But here we have some difficult instructions that God is given to Abraham. Sacrifice your only son as a burnt offering. Now, in Levitical law, there are two essential requirements. Going back to the Old Testament, there are two essential requirements concerning a burnt offering, which is often mentioned. Firstly, it must be offered freely and voluntarily. No holding back. It has to be freely and voluntarily. Secondly, a burnt offering was to be offered whole. Nothing must be kept back. And of course, this morning, as we've met around the communion table, this speaks to us of Jesus' sacrifice on Calvary. He died freely and voluntarily, and he offered his whole self as a living sacrifice, holding nothing back. When Jesus died on the cross, so we'll be focusing on the cross as Easter approaches, when he said those words, accomplished, finished, achieved, his mission came to an end. He held nothing back. And of course, in Romans 12:1, Paul encourages Christians, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Listen, whatever God wants us to do, whatever gift he's given you, if God is leading you into a particular direction, we mustn't hold anything back. We've got to give it our best. To give it our best for the kingdom of God. Abraham was to offer Isaac on one of the mountains in the region of Moriah. It was to be done on a high and exposed place. just as Jesus was openly crucified on a hilltop for all to see. So firstly this morning, here we have Abraham having to receive some difficult instructions. But secondly, we noticed Abraham's deliberate obedience. Now, you would have thought, wouldn't you, in this situation, there would have been some hesitancy. There would have been some, I'll get back to you, God. Maybe, you know, I'll talk to you next week when I've got a bit more free time and I'll think about what you want me to do. But no, look at verse 3 of our text. Early in the morning, Abraham got up and he saddled his donkey. What urgency to do what God wanted him to do. There seems to be no evidence that Abraham had wrestled with this command from God. He may have not lost much sleep over it, but we can be certain that this was probably the longest night of his life. He knew he was going to be obedient, and it was going to be the longest night of his life. Some say that Abraham didn't struggle with this at all. But of course, although he was obedient, but of course, Abraham wouldn't be human if part of him wasn't broken and sad. He must have agonized throughout the whole experience. But here and throughout the whole experience, I believe that God was perfecting, nurturing, mentoring his faith. His faith. Look at the last part of verse 3. Abraham set out for the place God had told him about. It was a specified place. God is concerned, you see, about the details in our lives and in the total development of our faith. Nothing that concerns us is unimportant to our Heavenly Father. We were talking in our Bible study last Thursday, that God is interested in the smallest detail of our lives. Sometimes, and I've done it before, you may have done it before, you think to yourself, God's not interested in that because it's so sort of tiny. God is interested in the big things of life, bringing peace to world order, healing people from being sick. He's not interested in the number of times I've heard people say, it is not trivial. I'm not pointing the finger at them because I can understand. Driving along, Lord, give me a parking space. I'm late already, Lord. To some people, that is a trivial thing. But God has taken that situation, important that it is, and answered that small prayer. And when Abraham and Isaac reached the mountain God had pointed out, Abraham carried out God's orders explicitly. Not one dot or cross or anything was taken away. He built the altar, laid the wood on the fire, then he bound Isaac and placed him on the altar. And even though Abraham's faith and obedience had won the initial battle, he still doubtlessly found it very difficult in carrying out God's command. It's one thing to show obedience, but it's entirely different to actually carry out what God wants. And that's where we usually slip up. Verse 10, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And it was at that precise moment, when Abraham had done everything that God had told him to do, up to the point of taking Isaac's life, that God intervened. We see that in verses 11 and 12. God was pleased with his servant Abraham. Notice what he said, "Now I know that you fear God," or show reverence to God. God knew from the beginning what kind of faith Abraham had. He simply meant by that statement that the testing of Abraham's faith was comprehensive and conclusive. James, in his epistle, finally writes Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? James in that passage says that Abraham's actions perfected and completed his faith and brought it to maturity. And of course, this is the intended result of tests and trials in our Christian lives. May we have the faith of Abraham. May we listen to God, and may we be open to his leading, even if it takes us in a difficult direction. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are faithful and just. We thank you, Lord, for the high calling you've placed on our hearts to serve you and to be communicators of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for what we shared in worship together. And Lord, shortly as we go out from this place with a new sense of mission, in anticipation of what you will do in the week to come, give us the confidence, we pray. Give us the wisdom. Give us the grace and the power. For we ask it in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to have our family song. We're going to sing, I Am a New Creation. It's that time of the service that I know you all look forward to, because we outcome, well, they're not banners. What are they, Joe? What do you call them? Streamers, or streamers, whatever you call them. Okay. Thank you. Wonderful. Let's finish by saying and sharing the grace together. Hopefully, will it be able to come on the screen, the grace? Here we go. Let's go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and evermore. Amen. Have a blessed week. God bless you all. We're having teas and coffee and in the hall. So unless you've got to rush away, please come and have a chat. God bless you all anyway.